Well, hello there, and thanks for joining us for the Thanksgiving weekend edition of the broadcast from the Evangel Home in Fresno. This is the radio voice of the Evangel Home. Welcome to Heartline. Your host, Jim Tuck.
Welcome, my listening friend, to today's edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno. Jerry Brenneman is the director, and we're in here office, as we usually are. And Jerry, as we record, it's just a couple of days before Thanksgiving, to give our listeners a little time frame as to, because I'm not sure when this will air. But we usually are pretty spontaneous when we turn on a microphone. We're kind of uncertain as to where this is all going to wind up. And today, far more conversation pre-microphone than I remember our doing. Julia is with us, and she has a story that is maybe a little bit different in some ways than we've been able to bring to our listeners. So make that introduction, and we want to get to Julia and her story and spend as much time as we can there.
Yeah, we do. Thank you, Jim. First of all, my hat off to Julia, because she has a tough story to tell. And Jim and I, to our friends on the radio here, always chat briefly with our guests just to sort of say, in case I'm not sure, what brought you here and what are your plans? And when we asked Julia what brought you here, she said to be closer to God. And I've learned that that is a reason that women come here, but it isn't usually the reason that they pick up the phone book and call or they ask a friend. That is part of why they choose here. But there's always a reason that they need a shelter. And her reason is basically, it's a very complicated story, and it's one of those generational mishaps, in a way, of raising generations to end up in prison, just to put it bluntly. And we talk about the sandwich generation, where you have your aging parents that you're taking care of, and you have your children that need help, and then you're in the middle. Well, there's also that dynamic in Julia's life. Julia came from prison. She has sons in prison. And her father is a lifetime prison person. That is a different kind of sandwich than we talk about with. But it's very real, and it's very difficult. And she is a young woman sitting here desperate to change that and asking God, now how do I do it? And so again, I think this is a courageous woman to be sitting here even willing to share that. That's not the kind of thing people want to talk about. Maybe when she's in prison, they do. Maybe when she's in prison, it's a whole different kind of conversation you have when you're trying to impress people. We know that. Julia knows that. She wants to let that go. And so this is one of those steps that she's very, very willing and very brave to take. So, Julia, you are to be commended for even wanting to share this with people you have no idea who's listening, but you know that they're going to pray for you.
Julia, you mentioned that you were in prison for substance abuse. Can you elaborate a little bit? When did that start?
It all started when my son went to prison, and I wasn't able to deal or didn't know how to deal with the pain of him being gone. It was a very difficult time in my life where I felt that the use of meth would numb my pain. And in fact, all it did was I just dug my hole deeper. It was harder for me to come out. And I thank the Lord for sending me to prison, because there's where I found sobriety. And yes, I did mention that I wanted to come here, and the reason for it was to get closer to God. But as the days have gone by and I've been here, I've found more reasons and new reasons. And those are that I've had the opportunity to speak to the younger women that are here and tell them about my drug abuse and the experience that I lived and how I've grown from it.
Now, your mother needs you.
Yes, she does. My mother had a heart attack, and she had a stroke while I was in prison.
And she's in Texas.
And she's in Texas now.
And so when can you're kind of, it's an indeterminate point at which you can get back there to be of assistance to her.
Yes, it is. I just have to take it one day at a time and see where it all goes and how things will fall into place.
Let me jump in again, because one of the things that makes it an indeterminate time, you're on parole, correct? Or probation?
Federal probation.
She's on federal probation, and she really can't go back to Texas until she's given permission. But she doesn't know when that might come. So how far do you go in one direction when you really want to go in the other direction, but other people are controlling those strings?
It's very difficult to make plans because you want to get back to be of help to your mom as soon as you can. So committing to some kind of even a job, you can't make a long-term commitment.
Right. We can't. I can't. But I just have to take it one day at a time and just ask for guidance, stay focused, and do the best I can.
Jerry, we talked a little bit, you did with her, about this generational prison legacy in the family. And, you know, that's a legacy of, I think, no family sets out and says, I want to go to prison and I want my grandkids, my grandsons to go to prison too. At some point, something needs to change.
Exactly. And it might have to be Julia who makes the change, or maybe it will be her sons. I don't know. Are her son's children, do they have kids?
Yes.
I heard you say that. Yeah. And they're going to end up doing the same thing, right?
Well, I hope not.
What do you see, to answer Jim's question, what do you see? How old are the kids?
My oldest is 27.
And your children are how old?
8, 6, 5, and 4.
Okay, so what happens now with you and your sons that those little people don't end up in prison?
Well, what we do is we teach them different. We raise them different than what we were raised. We don't expose them to what we were exposed to. My sons have gotten a good relationship with God. They've been saved, and I have been saved. And my son writes me letters, and he says how the Lord has actually brought us all together now.
Except my son is in prison, so he has the kids.
The mother.
And
how is she?
Hang on. Slow down here. I can only swing this microphone so fast. So you're the children's mother has the kids. And what about her spiritual condition?
I'm not quite sure. But I know that my boys or my sons in prison now have found the Lord. And we just give them all the honor and the glory. You know, it's just, I'm just happy to know that things will all be good soon.
Now, when do they expect to be out?
April of next year.
Oh, okay. So some semblance of a normal family life could resume as soon as a few months, 5 months from now.
With hope, yes.
So, but the kids are being raised differently than you were raised and your kids were raised?
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah. So what kind of environment is the environment where they're being raised? One that promotes a more positive approach to living that will help them avoid the pitfalls of making poor decisions that lead to prison time?
Well, what you do is you try your best to have the children in a positive environment, teach them different. The discipline definitely has to be different. That has a lot to do with how you feel and how you think when you grow up. So I think it's very important that they are taught in a better manner so that their outcome would be better.
Yeah. So they really need their dads there with that spiritual influence.
Yes, they do, and they will have him.
Julia, you mentioned that you did a 9-month program within prison. What did you learn specifically in that program that's going to help with all this?
I learned how to change your irrational thinking to rational thinking, to identify your stumbling blocks, to overcome all the negativeness in the past and just stay focused, and to the positive things, always look for positiveness. Because whatever it is that you're looking for, you're going to find. If it's bad that you're looking for, that's what you will find. If it's good, you will find good.
And in those programs, have you had like anger management, parenting, those sort of very practical classes?
Oh, most definitely. We do get anger management, learn how to deal with your anger issues and how to just stay quiet and listen. You know, a lot of times it's good to listen. We learn a lot.
you really want to change.
Most definitely, I do.
Yeah, that's pretty much ground zero.
Her whole attitude in here, from what I have seen, Julia is, she's not one of those people that checks out at 8 o'clock in the morning and is gone all day and comes back. She's here a lot, but she's not wasting time. She's out doing what she needs to do. But when she's here, she's a positive influence. I can tell in her conversations with the women. And she's been in some tough situations where she's been sitting in some ugly situations, listening to things that I think a less mature woman might have run with, whether it was true or not. And I don't see her doing that.
Now, you mentioned in our conversation before we turned the microphone on that you've had a relapse.
Yes, I have.
Well, what's going to change that's not going to happen again?
Well, it took that relapse for me to realize that I don't ever want to ever use again. It was a very terrible convicting feeling that I felt that I don't ever want to feel again. And I believe I've learned.
Now, are there relational situations out there that you'll be more exposed to that you need to avoid? Because your time's about up here, as I understand, your 28 days, and you can't commit to a 9-month program because you don't know when your probation officer is going to let you go to Texas where you need to be with your mom. Are there relational avoidances that need to be a serious part of your planning?
No, I don't have any bad relationships that I need to avoid anymore. I have learned. So, no, everything is positive. I stay positive, and that's one of the things that I learned in the drug program, how to identify a healthy and unhealthy relationship. So I'm good.
Okay. Well, and we're out of time. Julia, thank you so much. My listening friend, I hope you followed all of this. I hope we're able to plant this in your noggin there with some kind of structure so you understand what's going on in Julia's life and know how to pray for her, because it's a very uncertain next few months in Julia's life. So you need, please be praying for her. She seems to be doing a lot of right things, and we're very hopeful that she'll continue to make those good decisions and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and be a legacy changer in a family. Wouldn't it be great, 5 generations from now, you got great-great-great-grandkids, whatever they are, say my great-great-great-grandmother Julia came to faith and changed our world for generations. That's the goal. It's got to start somewhere if it's going to change. Jerry, we're out of time. And my listening friend, I hope that it's a good time for you, and thank you for joining us, and looks forward to our next edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno. Find them 24/7 online at evangelhome.org or by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Thank you for tuning in the RV, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline. We'll talk to you next weekend.